Former New England Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez died of an apparent suicide, according to officials. He was found dead in his Massachusetts prison cell this morning, less than a week after a jury cleared him of a 2012 double murder. Hernandez was already serving a separate life sentence without parole for another murder in 2013. And joining me now for more on Hernandez is Ron Borges, columnist for the Boston Herald. He's written extensively about Hernandez. Ron, welcome to the Here and Now.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, just want to get your reaction to the news that Hernandez was found dead, apparently by suicide this morning.
Well, I was shocked. I mean, my cell phone started to go off about 5 in the morning with various people asking me if I was aware of what had happened. And, you know, it's just a great, sad story for all the families involved, not just Hernandez's family. It didn't end the way most people probably predicted, but I think the one thing you could rest assured, it was not going to end well, and it didn't.
Well, I mean, I think this caught so many people off guard because he had just been acquitted of the 2012 double murder less than a week ago. I mean, is there anything about that trial which may have taken a toll on Hernandez and led to this?
Well, I think some people feel that perhaps, and we'll never know, I guess, but, you know, Sunday was the second anniversary of his first conviction. So here he is 2 days after being acquitted. He's in the same circumstance he was the day before he was acquitted. So nothing had really changed in the great scheme of things. I think people on the outside, not living that life in prison every day, thought, oh, well, he's got reasons to be hopeful. But I think you're not that hopeful when you've been incarcerated now for 3 or 4 years, mostly in a room by yourself. You have to deal with yourself, and perhaps that was what became too much for him.
Well, Ron, as we said, you have written extensively about Hernandez, and let's talk a little bit about who he was and going way back, because you wrote this fantastic Rolling Stone profile of him, and you said that he started off in that profile as a kid, as, you know, sweet and goofy in Bristol, Connecticut. So, like, what was he like?
Well, you know, he was a very sort of beloved figure. His dad would had some trouble himself as a young man, but righted himself. Was a great athlete. Was the best athlete really in the history of the town, according to most people, until his son Aaron came along. Everyone loved Aaron, and then his dad passed away unexpectedly when he went for a hernia operation, and everyone has pretty much said Aaron was a different guy after that, that he never seemed to be able to sort of process what had happened. He never cried. His older brother was in tears much of the time, as you would expect. Aaron never cried. The only time he ever went to the gravesite was after the funeral. He never went back. And he seemed at that point, in the opinion of many people and from my own reporting, to get trapped at that point in his life. He was stuck there and ended up taking really some wrong roads and got himself attached to a lot of people that were not helpful to him, and he couldn't shake that loose.
Well, so tell me more about that, about the folks that he attached himself to.
They were the kinds of guys who smoke PCP and do some sort of petty crimes and oftentimes live off other people, as was the case with Aaron. One, Ernest Wallace, a 40-some-year-old man, old enough to be his uncle, living and sleeping on his sofa after Aaron became a successful professional football player and was at the site of the first murder, and everyone was pointing fingers, of course, of each other at that point.
Okay. Well, I mean, the NFL itself knew that there were some red flags about Hernandez, because you wrote that by the time he made it to the draft in 2010, right, that a pre-draft psychological report gave him the lowest possible score, 1 out of 10 for social maturity?
Yes, that's correct. And they also, the analysis also was that he liked living on the edge. And certainly that's the way he lived. At least a dozen NFL teams had taken him off their draft boards, even though he was considered a first-round talent. And he was not taken until the fourth round, which shows you how many times 32 teams passed on him, you know, 3-plus times before the Patriots finally took him. And everyone knew the talent that he had. Apparently, a lot of teams also knew the risk you were taking if you selected him, that there was no guarantee that he wouldn't wander off. This is a kid who was 17 years old, had been in Florida for 3 weeks at the University of Florida, was involved in a barroom brawl in which he bashed a guy in the side of the head with a bottle. Within a year after that, he was the suspect, not the suspect, but he was interviewed about a shooting at a club. He was not a suspect and never charged, but how do you end up in those circumstances?
Yeah, so it's interesting because you see all these teams passed him up, but the Pats, of course, signed him to a $40 million contract. Later on, Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots, claimed to have been duped. How is that possible?
Yeah, well, I think he personally probably was duped because one thing about Aaron Hernandez, like a lot of these kinds of guys, they're like chameleons, and everyone you talk to when he was in jail, Thomas Hodgson, the sheriff in Bristol County, said, he was a master manipulator, which he was. He could be whatever he felt you needed him to be, and he needed to be to get over in the moment. You need you to kiss Robert Kraft on the cheek? I can do it. You need me to pull a gun out of my waistband? I can do that too.
Well, of course, today, in the strange twist of fate that life brings us, the Patriots are at the White House meeting President Donald Trump. They're Super Bowl champions. Have we heard anything from them about Hernandez?
They have sort of declined to comment. They came out publicly and said they were aware of the situation but had nothing to say. They've pretty much distanced themselves as fast as they could, and understandably so.
Ron Borges is a columnist for the Boston Herald. Thank you so much.